Please stand with me and open up your Bibles to John chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 60 through 68 of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. Lord, we just pray for this message. Help us, Lord. Each one of us, we've come to hear from you. You are faithful. Thank you for this body. We lift up our pastor who's traveling through Hungary today. Be with him. Anoint him. Anoint his time with the body throughout Europe. And bring him back here in your perfect timing. And Lord, we pray for Pastor Shibeli. Thank you for his life, his meditation, his hunger for the scriptures. Pray you would anoint this message. Anoint our ears and our hearts to receive with meekness your engrafted word, which will deliver our souls. Father, I thank you. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
You may be seated. It's like a warm summer day, isn't it, out there? It's going up. It's awesome. I go from yesterday being 0 to 100 degrees on Wednesday. So the body's going to go, excuse me, what are you doing to me? And I'm going to say, just traveling together with you. And I was thinking about the Kallenbachs this morning. Could you just wave to us from over there? How many years have you been in the ministry? Is it 50? At least 50 or more? 50 what? 56 years in this church. Can you imagine that? 56 years in the ministry. And they are the most incredible. Tonight, Pastor Lou will share about 7 minutes or 10 minutes on something. He didn't know that. I'm just telling him now. Something on the promises of God. Tonight we'll have a healing service and the word and healing and prayer for the sick. And it'll be a great night. Thanks for coming this morning. And this is an amazing portion of scripture that Pastor Eugene read. And really, such a touching personal message. What I love about this portion of scripture is there's a number of principles there. It speaks about the words being spiritual, not fleshly. The words being life, not death. The words being eternal, not temporal. The words to believe, not live in unbelief. The words that are personal, not abstract and general. And words that draw you. They said, you know, that we're going to stay with you. That your words draw us. This is quite an amazing portion of scripture in regards to the word. Peter gave an incredible answer to this. To whom shall we go? Are you with me this morning? Are you here? Are you here? Okay. There was a great miracle, and we love when God does miracles. But you will see this miracle did not sustain them. He did what was known as the miracle of the loaves a number of other places in the scripture. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. They say it could have been 8,000 people were fed. 5 loaves and 2 fishes with a little boy. Then he preached a great message. Great miracle, great message. The great message was called the bread of life. And he did bring in a great test. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. As they were listening to that, they got offended. It says they became hard. They were offended. They murmured. They complained. And they said, we're out of here. We're leaving. We cannot take this. They just had a great miracle. And he preaches this message. And they are going to bring in great miracle, great message, great test, great departure. Leaving great disciples, which I thought was amazing. It went from 8,000 to 12. Can you imagine? I told a person one time they had a church of 2,000. I said, I could bring your church down to 200 in a month. He says, what do you mean? I said, because you never preach about sin. You never preach about evangelism. You never preach about body of life. You never preach, you don't elevate the Bible. I said, I could bring this 2,000. Now, of course, I would never want to do that, but I thought it's interesting because they were not listening to anything that had any depth. And many people are drawn to that today. I don't want to be in a place where I'm challenged. I don't want to be in a place where I hear truth because I kind of like the life I have kind of formed out for myself, and I'm very happy with it. And please don't put a preacher in my life that will disturb that. And we're here to edify and to build people up. I understand that. But they all left. They were gone. And by the way, Jesus never stopped there. He said, and by the way, out of you 12, one of you is a devil. You know, it's kind of like, what is he doing? Like, wouldn't you want to hang on to everybody rather than say that? Like, why not bring in a real different message? But Peter said to him, to whom shall we go? You have the rhemas or personal words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? I was out evangelizing yesterday, and it's awesome how God keeps you warm, even with gloves on and a little hat and whatnot. Just uncommon for me. But I met two people that used to be in the ministry, and they work for the ministry. And they said, they walked up and they said, you still doing this? But I was very kind, very gentle and very loving. And I thought, like, you know, we all, you got saved because we did, somebody did this, or you heard it on the radio or on television. Somebody, you heard it someplace, something happened personally. So I'm not talking about evangelism, but I'm talking about how God desires to speak to me personally. Isn't that good in 2018? Can you say that to yourself? God wants to speak to me personally. Some of you can't say that because you've never spoken in church. God wants to speak to me personally. And this, I think it's amazing that the eternal God is personal. You have a lot of religions around the world, and they talk about God being eternal, but somehow we never grasp the aspect of him being personal. Listen to this poem. I didn't write it. Of course not. But I found it in my Bible. And I love this. It's called My Bible and I. We traveled together, my Bible and I, through all kinds of weather, with smile or sigh, in sorrow or sunshine, in tempest or calm, your friendship unchanging, my lamp and my song. We traveled together, my Bible and I, when life had grown weary and even death was nigh. But all through the darkness of mist or of wrong, I found there a solace, a prayer, and a plan. So now who shall part us, my Bible and I? Shall isms or schisms or new lights who try? Shall shadow or substance or stone for good bread supplant your sound wisdom and give folly instead? Oh no, my dear Bible, exponent of light, the sword of the Spirit put error to flight. And still through life's journey until my last sigh, we'll travel together, my Bible and I. And I love that. I love that. And we're not talking about dead letter or white pages with black print on them. We're talking about the life of God. Jesus said that he was the what? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? That's what the Bible says. And we're not talking about, like I said, religion or dead letter, but he said in Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will. It said the same thing in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. He says it in John 5, 39, you search the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life, but you won't come to me. So you can know the Bible, but miss the person of the Bible. Remember when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus? Remember that time, and the two disciples were just going away from Jerusalem. They were going opposite of what God had told them to go. And he walked alongside of them, and he says, what manner of conversation are you having? And they were telling him, well, we thought it would have been Jesus of Nazareth who would have delivered us. And Jesus began to open their understanding to understand the scriptures. And then it said their hearts were open, and they knew him. And I like what it says. And he vanished out of their sight. Just to keep them hungry, keep them going. And Jesus in Revelation 19, 11 through 13, it says, and his name is called the what? The Word of God. There'll be a name written on his thigh saying he's the Word of God. And the importance of the Bible eternally and personally in our lives as believers. We have movements in Christianity today where people are just kind of putting it away. Let's have, you know, I was in a church service one time, it was 3 hours long, and they said, you're preaching the main message, you have 15 minutes. I smiled and said, come and get me in my room when it's time, because I don't think I can handle 2 hours and 45 minutes of nonsense. 15 minutes for the Bible in a 3-hour church service? Like, what are they exalting? It was all about miracles, praying for the sick, and God does that, and God does miracles, and we believe in that. But there was no focus on the scriptures. Aren't you glad we have a Bible school? Philippe Saraji, isn't that good? How we have a Bible college for those who would desire to go, and you can still, I mean, they can sign. When is registration? Week after next. I mean, you could take one class. That would be amazing. One Bible college class. One class in the Word. God can do that and really touch lives. But God is so personal, and he gives us a personal Word. He's not just eternal. It's not just an eternal Word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word is forever. But it's a very personal Word. God speaks to us very personally. And he did this with Peter a lot. When Peter failed and denied the Lord 3 times, he remembered a personal word that was spoken to him in Luke 22, verse 31. And this is what Jesus said to him. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. In the Greek language, it says, Satan has demanded you back for himself. He wants you back. But I have prayed for you that when you are converted, not if you are converted, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. That was a personal word of encouragement to Peter, because Jesus says, I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to fail, and then you're going to get converted, and then you're going to lead. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Wow. We said this yesterday at the lunch wrap, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. David reached the lowest point of his life. He was at Ziklag, and the Amalekites came, and they took their wives and families and burned the city to the ground. It was his headquarters. And they came back, and the mighty men, for the first time ever, decided to stone David. He came to the end. By the way, some people think they're at the end. They're only at the three-quarter level. They're only at the three-quarter point. They're at the halfway point. It's going to be a while before they hit low point. All right? They're not really at the end. But David was at low point, at the bottom. And you know what David said? He got a personal rhema from God, and it says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And God said to him, pursue. Four times you're going to surely recover all. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Okay. Shake your head. Get the cold out. Okay. You're going to recover all. God would speak to David personally. The eternal God. Moses said it in Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is my refuge and my strength, and underneath are his everlasting arms. He will thrust out my enemy. Moses heard God personally. That was the call of God. Exodus chapter 3, he had murdered an Egyptian, dug a hole, put him in the sand, escaped to the wilderness with Jethro, was there 40 years trying to figure out what am I gonna do with my life? What's my life all about? And one day he's walking and he sees a burning bush. Isn't that awesome? And he draws near and there's a voice that says, draw near, take your shoes off, for the place you stand is holy ground. And he says to him, I am is speaking to you. Go back to Egypt and deliver the nation of Israel. God, even in his backslidden state, you know, I don't care what's happening. I don't care where you are at spiritually, where you're going, what your past has been like, what you're going through, what I'm going through in my life. God still right now wants to speak to me personally. It can be a personal, I love you, return. It can be a personal, you're doing an awesome work in God for me. It can be so personal. It can be encouraging. It can be strengthening. It can be helping. It can be bringing joy to my life. But no matter where I am, if I'm in this room and I'm alive today, are you alive today, Kathy Ryan? I'm alive today. God wants to speak to me through his word, through preaching, through studying the Bible, opening the Bible. And by the way, the enemy does so much to try to prevent that. Are you kidding me? I wrote these things down. He wants to hide the book, misinterpret the book, add to the book, take away from the book, destroy the book, neglect the book, have you neglect the book, attack the book, compromise the book, demote the importance of the book, mock the book, ridicule the book, steal the book, kill the book, and destroy the book. Why? Why? Because he knows if an eternal God is speaking to me, that I am a threat to his darkness. Are you with me? God's speaking eternally and personally, personal words to me. When I got saved 42 years ago, yesterday, January 6th, 42 years ago, I had a personal word from God. I just got infatuated with the Bible when I wasn't a Christian. And I was reading the Bible in Acts chapter 9. I read what happened to the Apostle Paul. I said, how could this murderer all of a sudden be a preacher? Just like that. He didn't go to seminary. Nothing happened. How did this happen? And then I said, God, can you do that in my life? And I got saved. Nobody witnessed to me. It was just in a room with a Bible. My Bible and I. My Bible and I. It was awesome. And there began a journey of 42 years where God is eternal and personally speaking to us. And you have your story. You're sitting here today. You're here because somehow that happened. Yes? Unless you're not saved. And by the time we're done with this, you probably will be. Listen. Somehow you had an initiation from the Holy Spirit. Hello? Anybody have that happen to them? Come on. Like get involved with me today, okay? Yes, you did. You did. That happened to you. That took place in your life. Even to Joe Gorgoni. That's amazing. And his mom. I mean, God spoke. God spoke. One time God spoke to Philippe Siraji about coming to Africa. He still owes me. and God. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, you'll be coming soon. You just don't know it. Okay? It's happening. God speaking personal words. Abraham, get thee out of thy country, away from thy kindred and from your father's house. That means God made an initiation to Abraham, one man in the Ur of the Chaldeans, in a very sophisticated, technologically so-called advanced civilization. And God said, there's one man there, I want him. And he spoke to him. And he's the father of our faith. Amen? God speaking to people. And this is incredible that God himself, the eternal God, will speak to me. And sometimes we become familiar with that. Are you listening? Huh? Leon and Colleen, are you listening? God's speaking to you. I don't know why your name just came to my brain. Huh? God's speaking to us. And this is awesome. These are rhemas. It is not just logos, the full thought of God, but God initiating towards me and speaking to me. I remember the times that happened in my life, and I'm sure you do if you reflect on them. Don't let Satan wipe out your spiritual memory. Are you listening? He can be very good at trying to bring in all kinds of patterns of thinking that have nothing to do with God, and I forget. By the way, why is the Holy Spirit there in John 14, 15, and 16? So I can remember. Amen. Remember, Holy Spirit delivers from spiritual Alzheimer's by helping us to remember. I'm not trying to make fun of the thing. I'm just telling you, that's what it is. I can remember. God spoke to me. God spoke to us. You remember the day that he spoke to you in Brooklyn, New York? Huh? Do you remember that day in Brooklyn, New York when you got saved in Pastor Moses' church and the preaching? Do you remember that day? God spoke to you. Pastor Adam Speedy, are you here? Huh? I don't see him. He's in the mother's room. Oh, I see him. He's waving. He's in the mother's room with about 18 kids. I preached a message in South Africa. And it was, but God. And him and his mother and father came to the ministry. It's a personal word. And God has spoken to us. He's delivered us. How many years of heroin addiction were you delivered from, Pastor Steve? 18 years of, do you remember, did God speak to you when that happened? God spoke to him when that happened. You know, I'm not against all these kind of programs and psychologies and psychiatric things that are going on all over. Did I say I'm not against them? Okay. Let me rephrase that. I mean, whatever, you know, God can lead you to witness to the psychiatrist. Oh yeah, I've been to those people. I've been to those people. Yeah, you know, just for the sake of something, one thing or the other, you know. People say, we need to like have you examine. Something's totally wrong with you. I said, exactly. That's exactly what I need, you know. And I like God speaking to me. I like God speaking to me, God ministering to me, all right? This is the key. Pastor Dan Lightsey can tell you that, right? God spoke to you. How many years ago? How long have you been in the ministry? 40 years in the ministry. But God's speaking. They're called rhemas. Say that word. Rhemas. God's speaking. Big Dave, God spoke to you one day, right? He spoke to us. And by the way, he doesn't just speak to us in salvation. He speaks to us about calling us to a church. Are you with me? You want me to prove it? Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to do. God spoke to them. He spoke to the leadership, the five men, and then he spoke to those two men, and he called them out from the church. God speaking. This is God speaking, and I can rest assured that God's going to speak to me. He loves to speak to me. One of the problems is God is always speaking, but I'm not always listening. That's why the most quoted verse in the whole New Testament, or the Testament put together, is he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Hearing you hear not, and seeing you see not, neither do you understand. That's quoted 7 times in the Bible from Isaiah chapter 6. God says there's a problem not with me speaking, but with people listening. Hello? Listening to God. Listen to God. I love you with an everlasting love. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Listen to God. I'm going to set you free. right? Through the word and the spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18, and John 8:31 through 34. The word and the spirit will set me free. Am I listening? Well, you don't know what I'm, you know what's going on? Huh? No, God can free you. God can give liberty, can he? I am trapped in this situation in my life. Trapped in a relationship that's wrong. Trapped in a financial situation. Trapped with a health problem. Trapped with this trial, this test. And God is saying, well, would you listen? The trial of your faith is more precious than gold. I want to speak to you in your valley. You know, when they were trembling in 1 Samuel 17, remember what was taking place? Goliath, 40 days, Goliath came out and mocked Israel. 40 days in the valley of Elah. Can you imagine that? And they're sitting there like this. Because he was like 9 feet, 6 inches tall. And he kept saying, give me a man, you cowards. By the way, you know what he called them? Servants of Saul. They had lost their identity as God's people. They had lost their identity. And there's this little kid with bread and cheese. David comes up and he's told to bring up bread and cheese for his brothers. He's bringing up sandwiches. Okay? He listens to what's going on. He wonders, what's happening here? Then he goes up to where his brothers are and where King Saul is. And he says, is there not a cause? 1 Samuel 17:29. Are you with me? Is there not a cause? It doesn't say that. That's what the King James English says. This is what it says. Is there not a Devar? Didn't we get a word from God? Why is everybody trembling and so afraid of this giant? I'm going to take his head off. Hello? Yeah. By the way, he walked around with that head for, they say, 7 miles. He walked to Saul's palace with the head. This bloody, dripping head. Dripping blood. He's just walking with the head. Because he got there with the head. He brought the head there. But see, David, the 16-year-old, heard from God. He heard a word from God. Right? People get married without hearing a word from God. Not the Knowleses. They heard a word from God. Right? There they are right there. No, they get involved with situations and relationships. They take jobs without hearing from God. Huh? They don't hear from God. Oh, they have great hearts and they mean well, but I want to hear from God. My whole life I thought I was going to Italy as a missionary. Imagine how many pizzas I would have eaten by now. I would have been huge. I would have been like, you must be kidding me. I would have had a bad stomach, number one, because you can only eat so much sauce. And then the peppers and all that. And I was absolutely geared towards a ministry to Milan, Italy. Had a place to stay, had a visa, had a team. You know what happened? In 1 month, it all fell through. The translator's wife got pregnant. They called me up and they said, visa, you waited too long. And then the house fell through. And I said to Pastor Stevens, what happened? He goes, God doesn't want you in Italy. I said, well, I really believe he wants me to be a missionary. He says, did you ever think about Africa? I said, Africa? For what? For what? I said, I'm not going. He says, will you pray about it? I said, no. I won't even pray about it. Guess where I ended up? Africa. A personal word from God. Amen? God wants to speak to us personally. I just come to church and sit in church. What time is it now? You know, I can't wait. Yes, it's Sunday morning. I'm doing my obligation or whatever, you know. No, I want to hear from God. Are you with me? I want to come and hear from God. Are you with me? Here's a verse for us. Matthew 4:4. Man does not live by bread alone, pizza alone, but by every single rhema that comes out of the mouth of God. It's rhema. It's not logos that God wants to speak to me. I can live by rhemas. You got that, Oliver? I can live by rhemas. Live by them. How do I want to live? Huh? I don't get rhemas from Fox News. I don't get rhemas, definitely don't get them from CNN. I don't get rhemas from politicians. I don't get rhemas from educational institutions. I don't get rhemas from the Baltimore Ravens or the New England Patriots. I don't get nothing wrong with those things. But I don't get rhemas. I get rhemas from the Word of God. Are you with me? From the Word of God. That's how I want to live. I don't know where it's going to happen, where it's going to take me, but I want to receive rhemas from God. Okay? I think, Michelle, you heard a rhema from God and you came to Baltimore, right? Now you have an awesome husband. There you go. And you make amazing rice and beans. Had rice and beans at our house recently. Yes, a rhema from God. Are you listening? That's how I want to live. How do I want to live? Perchance? Huh? Based on the ups and downs of life, we'll figure out what happens. You know, some days are good and some days are bad. With God, they're all awesome. I'm living by every word that proceeds of the mouth of God. And certainly when I fail, I got another word from God which says he has mercy that rejoices over judgment. Are you with me? Living by every word of God. That's awesome. That's how we were made to live as believers. But if I never listened to, I never opened the Bible, I never studied the Bible, I never come to church, I never hear the word preached, I'm never around the body, how am I going to live by every rhema that comes out of the mouth of God? Because sometimes we can get very subjective. Well, God, tell me. I had this happen one time in Africa. Four men told me that God told them to marry a certain person on the team. By the way, it was a woman. They don't think like that. I said, now this is amazing. I got them all in a room. I said, now all of you are telling me that God told you to marry her. I said, so of course one of them, Mr. Wonderful says, well, one of us could be right. I said, she says none of you. She doesn't have a witness on any of you. So I don't know who's speaking to you. Probably it's your old sin nature, subjectivity, or demons. But you're all wrong. Subjective, you know, God said. Well, God's, you know, I hear a lot of that in Christianity, you know. I heard a guy say to me one time, God told me to divorce his wife. I said, really? That's so scriptural. I said, you know what? You almost prove evolution. You're acting like a monkey. You're a monkey believer. I'm sorry. I just have to humor myself at times. You deal with such strange things, you know. I want to live by every what? Every word. Every word. How do I want to fight? The Bible says the sword of the Spirit is the rhema of God. We fight by rhemas. And we're in a battle. Have you ever noticed? We're in a battle against our own flesh. Galatians 5, 16, 17, and 18. We're in a battle against the devil and demons. And we're in a battle against the world. You know, it's amazing to me. A lot of Christians don't believe in demons and the devil. They just think it's all like, ah, come on. You know, that they used to believe that years ago in John Wesley's time and years ago, like 200 years ago. Really? Let me tell you something. One time I was in the village preaching. And a witch came at me, and she was not on the ground. I said, wow, that's interesting. By the way, the devil you can see is not as dangerous as the devil you can't see. The one that's in the school system, bringing in different types of relationships, you know, men, men, women, women, all kinds of strange things. The devil you can't see is much more difficult to deal with than the devil you can see. Okay, we've dealt with demonic possessions a number of times. Now, I thought, that's interesting. She's not on the ground. And I dropped her out of the air with a verse. Just a verse. I didn't lie. I wasn't going to get psychological with her. I wasn't going to get into like a debate. I just said, I gave her Ephesians 6:17. Gone. The Bible works. We fight. How am I going to fight against the enemy? How am I going to fight against my flesh? By what? Rhemas that come from God. Oh, some churches, they want to fight with a mind that's totally opposite of what the scriptures has to say. That's why we learn the Bible. That's why we have Bible preaching here. Amen? That's why we had Pastor Stevens for years and Pastor Schaller and many men of God that love the Bible and preach the Bible. It's getting to become a little bit obsolete. Not traveling together, my Bible and I. It's so sad. I want to live by what? Fight by what? Rhemas. I want to live and fight by rhemas. And that means I'm going to study the Word of God and see the importance of it. By the way, how do we live by faith? Faith comes by
hearing
by the hearing by
rhemas
of God, it says. In other words, God gives me a rhema on the situation that I'm in. And I'm not saying he's going to change the situation, but I get a personal word from God on the situation I'm in. And I can what? I can get faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the rhemas of God. So faith is produced. And we know one thing, that without faith it's impossible to please God. I think it's amazing that God wants to speak to me personally to build my faith. And that's also Romans 10 verse 8. And that's also Luke 1 verse 37. What do you think Mary said when the angel told her you're going to have a child, although you're a virgin? She says, nothing is impossible with God. And that word nothing is rhema. No personal word from God is without God's ability. God wouldn't speak to you personally unless he was going to do it. Are you with me? Rhema's from God. We get so concerned about children and grandchildren and what's going on in family. And rather than saying, you know what, God's going to speak to me, not just eternally, but he's going to speak to me personally. He just wants me to listen. My problem is this. My problem is earwax. There's too much wax in the ear, and God wants to speak. And he says, are you getting it? Are you getting it? Are you getting it? And thank God he never gives up. Amen. He never stops speaking. He's always speaking. We get rhemas from God. I'm delivered by a rhema from God. I get a vision in John 4 and become a great evangelist because I got a rhema from God. I got delivered from 6,000 demons, not me. Mark chapter 5 got delivered from 6,000 demons. He got a word from God. When Jesus was finished preaching in Nazareth, he preached rhemas in Nazareth, his hometown. You know what they said? What a word from God. What a word. They got a personal word. They didn't really want it. Some said, what a word. Some said, let's kill him. That's what they said. But rhemas. God wants to speak to us. I approach my Bible. God wants to speak to me. I approach the church service. I'm not concerned about who's here and who's not here. But I'm coming and I'm focusing on what is God saying to me today. Through the Spirit. You want to hear another great verse on rhemas?
Yes.
You're not tired yet, are you? 2 Corinthians 12:4. Paul said, I was caught up into heaven and I heard unspeakable words which was not lawful or permissible for a man to utter. These words came from God. The word is aretos. I heard words. Man cannot utter them. They came from God. And God gave me a message. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And that personal word's going to take me through my whole life. Are you with me? My grace. You got my grace. Philippians 1:7, it's my grace. You got my grace. Exodus 33, 10 and 11 through 14. God's speaking to me. My grace will take you through every situation. Through valleys. You know, we're very good when it's mountaintop. Valley's coming. Valley's coming. But you know what? Whether it's mountain or valley, God spoke on the mountain. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And God speaks in the valley. He speaks, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I just want to hear from God. Amen. I want 2018 to be a year I what? Hear from God and God's word. And not through subjectivity, not through something in my own imagination. The Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God if I'm the husband in the marriage. I want to hear from God how to raise children. I want to hear from God what to do about educating children. I want to hear from God about my personal ministry. I'm in a ministry, but what does God have for me? What? Personally, in the ministry. I want to hear from God. I want to be available to hear from God. And you know what ends up happening? Wow, it's incredible. The blessings we receive from God. Awesome. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Seven times. Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Let's make 2018 a new beginning. I want it to be new. I don't want to bank on the old. I want to hear from the new. I'm going from 0 to 100 degrees. I want to hear fresh from God. Fresh sweat from God. Yes, I want to hear from God. Yes, from ice to sweat. That's amazing. God, speak to me personally. We'll be in Liberia. We have a convention. We'll be actually meeting with 4,000 people. Pray for us that we would have just relationship and receptivity to God in Liberia, in Togo, and in Ghana, that God would speak, and people coming from West Africa for this time, that God, you would personally speak to them, to us, to all the preachers, that it would be an awesome time. It would be not just, it's another convention. This is convention number 30-something. No, but it would be something absolutely new. It would be personal, and it would be eternal. So I want to go out of here today knowing that God's going to absolutely speak to me, and he is personal, and he is eternal, and my ears are wide open. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you today. My Bible and I, we thank you. We pray that also you'd help us, God. Maybe you're here and you're not saved today. The word of God speaks about you must be born again. John 3:3-7. Say yes to Jesus Christ today. On the internet, here in the assembly, God, touch me. I want to receive from you today. I want to be born of the Spirit. The one who wrote the Bible wants to live in you. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. Say, Jesus, save me. Cleanse me of sin. Give me mercy. Make me a new person. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, if that's your prayer, just a simple prayer, you're not joining a church, just lift your hand and say, Jesus, save me. I want to be saved today. I want to know I'm going to heaven today. Save me. Save me. On the internet, save me. And for us here in the church, all of us, people who are saved, born again, God, I want to hear you. You are eternal and you are personal. And I pray that you would touch me, that help me. The enemy wants to hide the book from me. He wants to get me distracted through advanced technology. So many people are so caught up in technology and iPhones and all kinds of things in their minds and their brains. It's just out of balance. Put us in the word, God. Help us, God, to hear eternal and personal words. Oh, it's so easy for us to be distracted. Our flesh can be so easily distracted. Satan wants to steal the word, kill the spiritual life, and destroy rewards. That's his objective. Help us, God, to receive with meekness that implanted word which can deliver us. We pray. We pray, help us, God. Personally, you know our situations. God, deliver us. Maybe there's besetting sin. Maybe there's thorns in the flesh controlling. Just say to God, deliver me through your word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Your word, healing, I will heal you. Your word, blessing, your word, fighting that good fight with your word, hearing from you in my personal life, your word in 2018. God, give us a desire for your word. Would you stand with me as we prepare to close? Pray for this year coming. For yourself, maybe those you know that just need a touch from God when it comes to his word. Coming to church, hearing the word, church services, opening their Bible, proclaiming the truth. Father, we thank you today. Pray that you bring us back tonight to hear about the promises of God and the healing meeting tonight, anointing people. We pray, God. We thank you. The enemy wants to distract us, our flesh, the demons and the world and the devil himself, to distract us from what's eternal and personal, to distract us into the temporal, the natural, the general, sight, emotions. Help us, God. Help us, God. We need help from you, God. We cannot do this. This only takes God alone. The word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It discerns. It divides. It manifests. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Eternal word, ever true. Changing me and changing you. Please, Jesus, help us. You are the living word. Please, Holy Spirit, change us. You are the author and source of the Bible. We pray. Thank you, Father. It's your purpose and plan that we would receive your word. Bless our day today. We thank you. Help us be students of the book, not to try to put that, obey this in the flesh, not for any type of condemnation, but to build us up. Help us. If we read the Bible 5 minutes, give us 10 minutes this year. If we read it 10, give us 20. Help us, God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a personal word. We pray you bless our day today. Bring us back tonight with a great expectation from the Spirit in the body and with the word. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.